Welcome to Starfleet Universe On Call. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I run SFB Online, FedCom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just a reminder how to join us. We have a talk cast every Thursday night starting 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, just dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the talk's website at www.talkshoe.com and search for quality 17702. And please use the Chrome browser. If you're not using Chrome, you might have issues. Currently, it's optimized for Chrome. And of course, if you need to contact me for any reason, my email address is sfuoncall@gmail.com. Also, if you want to reach me via Skype, my Skype ID is Franz Games, FranzGemes. And of course, you can follow me on the Twitters. My account for the podcast is SFUOnCall. If you want to look at my, you want to follow me on my personal account, that's Paul Franz, PAULFRANZ. So to find me on the personal account on Twitter, just go to twitter.com/PaulFranz. That's PAULFRANZ. And of course, I have my tertiary account called Franz Games, which is my business account for the different business things that I do, including announcing new updates for the client, and also, of course, announcements about tournaments, and also new games for Warlord. And of course, this lovely TalkCast, Gist Turndo podcast, available on iTunes and various other feeds around that. Also, currently, we have a YouTube channel. I don't have enough followers to actually have a unique URL yet. So hopefully I can get enough and be on there long enough so it actually will let me have that. And on to the news for this week from ADB. Unfortunately, you know, Steve Cole's been doing as much of this stuff possible because of he had some minor surgery, had some skin removed from his head and so forth, because there was a little bit of skin cancer. They thought it was a little bit. It was a little more than a little bit. So they had to take a piece, I think, off his chest and attach it to his head. And hopefully that all works out. But in the meantime, he tried to do as much work as possible, but obviously he didn't get as much work done as he normally does because of the pain he was in. Steve Pedrick was busy working on, of course, SFB updates and also the Gorn Master Starship book. Gene was busy working on the GURPS Prime Directive revision. Yay! And also Facebook and beating down the spam assault on the BBS. Moving onward to the SFB Online tournaments. We have, of course, the Master 2018 tournament run by Andrew Kalk. I personally sent out some emails, being the owner of SFB Online, to the Round 1 people that hadn't yet to play their games. Now, I copied Andrew on it so that Andrew knew that I was asking and that I wasn't doing anything behind his back or anything goofy like that. But we got at least 2 concessions out of that, so it was able to move some people forward. Obviously, that's 2 more games that can be played on Round 2. One of those games that still cannot be played is Mine. I'm still waiting for, Justin Reuter? And I forget who his opponent is. The Red Pirate Roberts, I forget what his actual name is. And so that gets done, then I can actually play Round 2, which would be awesome. Moving on to the Rat 48 tournament run by Ron Brinmeyer. Round 1 is complete. Yay! Awesome! And then, we have 5 games have been completed Round 2. We actually have 1 game completed Round 3. So it is starting to move along. It's always good to hear. And people, if you're listening to this and you're in part of either of those tournaments, please, please, please get done those things as fast as possible. Moving forward on to the online client stuff, I actually did work on the client some this week. I fixed the issue with ships that have both plasma racks and plasma launcher where you cannot launch anything from the racks. Found the problem. Actually, the funny part is that Frank had reminded me that there was a problem with fighters that use plasma racks, per se, to launch plasma, and you couldn't launch plasma from those fighters. And basically, it was half of the story because of I fixed it. So, oh, yeah, well, if you don't have plasma launchers, it will look for racks, and if there's racks, it will use racks. But it had both. I didn't do anything special. I didn't cover that issue. So I was like, oh, if you have both of them, then they got to do something totally different. So moving on. Also, I was working on the recording stuff, getting it so that I was checking it out to see if it actually worked. It actually does record. There are some glitches with it at the moment, which is it doesn't quite get the movement count right. It moves things fine. It records the text, the conversation, and the chat, which is awesome. There's certain things that I'm probably going to need to work on at some point because of part of that's going to be it has a timed record. You can set it so you can play quickly or slowly, and it does it on a per action basis. Like if you do a turn, that's one. If you move your ship, that's another. I mean, turn as in change the facing. Then so normally you turn it and you move forward. Okay, that's one action. No, that's two actions. You know, actually it's like two actions. So it takes a little bit of time for that actually to proceed. So I've gotten some of that I'm working on that. I want to have so that people can record. And I can release that, and so that we can replay things and do things that way, which would be totally awesome. When it comes to the library, there's again no progress. We're still at 72.8% complete. And with that is the news for this week. And that's me, yes, the one, the only, the Pop Friends, welcoming you to Starfleet Universe On Call. And tonight, it's just me and dear old Dave. Hey, Dave, how you doing? He'll be keeping track of the score of the current football game, which is Jets versus Browns. So if every once in a while you hear me mention that, just a reminder that, yes, we do. Actually, well, he watches football while he's listening to me. You know. Some people can multitask. I don't think I can do the same thing. And actually, at the moment, I also have a game which I'm streaming on Twitch, on the SFU On Call Twitch channel. So if you want to watch SFB, you can watch SFB over there if you're on Twitch. Or I think it's twitch.com/SFU On Call. We'll do that at the moment. But also, of course, we have our YouTube stream going live. And you can definitely hear me through YouTube. Oops. I apologize on that one. I just started the YouTube live stream. I apologize for starting that late. I got started, got it set up, and I should have done the click the button. I didn't click the button. Now you're live for those people on the YouTube side of things. I'm not sure how many people you are. Just hope you enjoy listening to my melodious voice. And in the meantime, there's actually, I said there's one, but that there's going to be two topics because there's actually one thing while I was actually investigating Frank did something kind of whacked. Something no one's done for a while, which is they reported an issue with a client using the SFU discussion board on StarfleetGames.com. And like, whoa, that's back old days. That's before I actually had the send feedback so you actually could report those issues directly to me. Obviously, A lot of times, if you want to report an issue with the client, you want to do a send feedback at the very least. I do get it. I do get a little email reminding me, hey, you got an issue here. Sometimes it takes me a while to get to it, but more importantly, when you do that, it will then send me the different internal logs that I keep. Basically, there's an issue with the UI. Usually there's a error which is logged in the back, in the back end, you know, the underneath the scenes that's kind of hidden from view. And then when you do a send feedback, that sends me the log so I can see what the at least have a good idea what the actual cause is. Now, obviously, actually, the funny part is that in the case of Frank and the issue of Plasma Racks and Plasma Launchers being on the same ship, and you're trying to actually launch from the Plasma Racks, and they're not seeing them listed in the action window when it comes to the impulse activity. That wouldn't have solved it. I wouldn't have seen anything. I went, I don't know what's happening. But, you know, fortunately, it's one of those ones that is pretty easy to duplicate, and it's consistent because, as any software engineer would tell you, the most infuriating issue when it comes to software and debugging software is that nasty little word called sometimes. Because here's the thing. Sometimes means you just haven't worked on it long enough to discover what are the commonalities of what steps are necessary to duplicate the issue. Now, I'm not berating my customers on this. I understand that's not they're not a QA person. But every once in a while, I do have a QA person who doesn't, well, actually, sometimes I get furious with some of the QA people that I work with, that they assume, they say, oh, I just go this. Like, okay, back up. How do you get there? Because I don't work a lot of times with the front end work. I do mostly back end. So I don't know, I'm not as familiar with the UI. So they say, oh, yeah, just go to the screen. It's like, okay, but how do you get to that screen? And unfortunately, they don't. A lot of times they don't document how to get to that screen because they assume that if you're a developer who's in charge of it, you know exactly where it is. So invariably, I have to send them emails and say, okay, how am I supposed to get to that screen? You know? So anyway, yeah, as I said, you know, I know my customers aren't QA people, so I could not, I do not expect them to actually spend the time to duplicate the process again and again and again and again. I really don't. Though, you know, obviously, if they can boil it down to, you know, a little more to some of it, that'd be great. But, you know, I'd rather have too many reports than too little. Because then, at the very least, you can tell me there's an issue. So, what we're going to start off with is actually we're going to continue on. I call it SAP Online Videos Take 2. Now, as we left off last week, we were discussing with Les, and unfortunately, we got into a confusing area overall. And that is that Les was... And I working confused. I mentioned TalkShoe and YouTube Live and that kind of thing. He confused that with me discussing SAP Online videos and streaming and versus recorded and all that kind of thing. Sorry, but you know that happens. I will actually discussing both of those and possibly a third. Because definitely want to get back to the TalkShoe thing just for a quick moment. I don't want to belabor this point because of I have talked about this whole issue multiple times so far, and the whole idea of possibly moving. Now I'm still thinking about moving. Now here's the one thing about it. And obviously we have to have a chat room And the question is, where would we put that chat room? I'm still looking into that whole thing and possibly doing teleconference and all that kind of thing. Okay. But unbeknownst to, I'm pretty sure the recording people know it. If you're looking at the podcast, you know it. If you look at the YouTube live video, you know, afterwards, which, to be honest, I actually looked at the numbers. There's not that many people watching the video afterwards. Well, last time I checked, there's one. And that's fine. Hey, I'm fine with that. Because this is brand new. This is the third time I've recorded a video for YouTube Live. So I can't expect people to know. And also, I haven't been advertising my channel. And I need to start advertising my channel. I'll figure out a URL for my channel. I know it's not, you know, a vanity. That's it. A vanity URL. I don't have a vanity URL yet. Though I might see if I can do maybe a little bit of that, you know, on the actual website, you know, the sfuoncall.com website. I might be able to get it so that at the very least, I might be able to get a redirect occur. Yeah, I can definitely, at the very least, I can have a link available so people can actually click on the link and then go, then you can find my YouTube live channel or my YouTube channel and see the videos there. But I'm sorry, I sidetracked on that issue. But the one thing with that was that for those people YouTube live, it took me a while, but I finally did it. It took me a while to edit it. Then we had a little issue last week with somebody came in, posted some vile material. Stuff you miss while you're not in the chat room. I'm not so sure you guys would want to see it. There was one which was a racial slur, and then we had the other thing which was pornographic. And I had to delete that section of the video. I had, so part of my audio had to go bye-bye too. Because I wasn't actually going to download it and then re-upload it. Because if I do that, then I lose all the likes and views for that one video. So there was no reason to do that. So I just trimmed it. Overall, you know, there's not much of the discussion that got removed. But the guy who came in, you know, was annoying. I tried to block him. I actually blocked some of the people who actually were there. And I apologize to Les and there was one other person. I don't remember the names. That was on the call, and I apologize for cutting you guys off. That will not happen again. If I have to do the whole fight thing with anyone who comes in and just remove them as quickly as I can, I will do that. If it keeps on happening, it has not happened again so far, but it keeps on happening, then I might have to start capturing anyone who's in the chat room, have everyone actually log in and then capture it, or we'll move. You know, that's another possibility. This is my first incident, so I'm not going to say, oh, you know, that's it, we're moving. I'm just keeping quite aware. It just concerns me greatly on that. Because here's the thing. On the previous interface that TalkShoe had, you could have blocked them. Because I had some issues with people logging in and typing awful things in the chat room. And I made sure that, you know, I removed them as much as I possibly could. I blocked them. And then what happened is that they come in as guests. And then they come in again as guests. You know. And I keep on kicking them out. And blocking them. Basically, I've been able to block them. And it's one of those features that they removed when they moved to the new UI. I understand that, you know, that's not part of the core thing. Of course, I'm not exactly sure at the moment what TalkShoe is trying to be. are they trying to move towards more of a video conferencing and that side of things? Or are they more willing, or they still want to be a podcaster's thing? You know, because that's the one for live podcasting, for live streaming. Is that what they're trying to do? What are they trying to do? Because one thing that's obviously disconcerting for me when it comes to DocShoe is that this is one thing they have not thought about. I reported it. I'm using the feedback, and I actually one thing I mentioned to the guy. I said, look, if the developers could do something simple as a kind of as a stopgap in the meantime, before they actually put in a feature to actually block these people and control access a little better for the room, so that kind of thing they can block them, make sure they can't do what they did, and just create a separate form so that a person can fill out all the information that they need to. Because one thing that I got information about, I was like, oh, you know, we need to know this, and this. Well, they didn't say anywhere when I was reporting the incident that you need this, and this. That's why it's like, you know, a form would be great, you know, as at least a stopgap measure in that case. So, annoying. But, you know, hopefully in the future we will not have that issue if we stay on DocShoe, or if obviously if we move from DocShoe, that might occur in a different way. You know, what was it? One thing I remember seeing a post on Facebook that Les said, oh, why don't you Super Chat? Actually, he posted that. And unfortunately, I was logged in. So I actually captured that he asked me that, because what happened is later on he deleted it. So I couldn't respond. I think he deleted it because he realized, oh, I can't be on Super Chat. Because to be on Super Chat requires at least 1,000 people following you. 1,000. That's a pretty big jump from what I'm used to. I'm used to like 50. Go from 50 to 1,000, that's a pretty big leap, and that's also a pretty big amount of people for us, you know. But in the meantime, we're gonna move on to SW Online video and that stuff. I think as I mentioned actually in the news portion of this podcast, one thing I mentioned was that I was working on the recording issues. Sorry, not issues. The recording feature on the SFU online client. And it actually is, you know, I noticed there were some issues, which is no problem there. That issues happen. But with those issues, you know, they're... At the moment, they're kind of minor. I don't know. I have not done a full game or even close to a full game. Because it looks like I save things directly to the hard drive, so I don't use up a lot of memory. The only thing I use a lot of memory on is the indexes. I might have to do something. I might want to avoid the indexing issue. Because currently, I maintain an array of the beginning of each record, you know. I'm not so sure if that's needed or not. Depends on how I want to do things, you know. In theory, that shouldn't take up too much memory, but that might have been one of the things I've had in from the beginning, and that's one of the reasons why it ran out of space, you know, because somebody had been recording something for a long time, and that index that was kept in memory, well, it just, you know, it is what it is. And so what I might need to do is, if you know, in that case, to save even more memory is to, if I need to go through the file, what I need to do is going to need to be a more manual process, which means slower. That's one thing I did definitely did know, which I also I did a little bit of work, just a little quick test. And that is, again, as related to video, is that I tried to turn off some of the protections when it comes to the attributes, so that that information could definitely be viewed by the a web client, a web-based client. So I want to just test, you know, go down that rabbit hole just for a moment, just to see if the test itself would work, you know. Can we get that part done? And it looks like, yeah, I can turn that off, and actually I'll be able to read it from the web. Might need to work on a little more of the internals to have that working, but we'll have to wait and see on that. So, as I mentioned in the news portion, there was the only minor issue that I saw, other than the obvious one, which was the turn information seemed to be wrong. Now that gets me concerned, because I'm not sure why it's wrong, whether it is a timing issue when it comes to the events, or it's something else. Because it's one thing that is kind of weird, in that events aren't always purely linear. You know, when it comes, they have a certain time, boom, 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 they only can do it, go in progression. No, they don't. No, they don't have to. Though, for the most part, they kind of do, because if you think about it, they do, because of that stuff is communicated over the wire to another client. So you have to get it in the right order. So I'm not sure at the moment why that's so wrong. I'm thinking at the moment is that, like, for the moves, it might be because of it sets it. It does certain things which really shouldn't be doing. Like when you turn, the client actually sets the movement count to zero. Well, one of the records might be setting the movement count to zero. So, you know, the movement count gets off by one. That seems like at the moment what the problem is. But we'll have to wait and see. Let's see how that whole thing works out. So, now, just to let you know, I did do a little more progress on streaming games. I have now set up my little machine here with Ubuntu and got OBS running. And right now, as I mentioned before, I'm streaming a game at the moment. I need to work on that a little bit to see if I can set up streaming a little bit more. You know, I the one thing I don't have is that little behind the scenes thing. I had a little issue for the past couple of days with my wireless on this laptop that I'm using to record this. And that is that it seems like my wireless speed is just dog slow. I mean, dog slow. I can copy things faster by putting them into a flash drive and take it across the house and plug it into another computer. So it's sharing is like, no. I go to fast.com and it tells me that my speed is like, 786K. Not megabytes, K. We've got an issue. So, given that, I went, okay, I got desperate. I went and I got a Thunderbolt 2 Ethernet cable. So, because I ran out of USB ports, to be honest, including all the ports on my my USB hub. So I went and I got that so that I didn't have to worry about that. But the problem is that I only have, I realized after I did that, that I only have one cable for this computer and my another computer. I got other cables, but the cables are too short. So one thing I'm going to have to do this weekend is to actually go and buy a separate cable so it actually can connect my little Linux box, my Unix box, my Linux box here, sorry, Ubuntu, so that it's hardwired again. Because right now this is hardwired, so I've got really good speed at the moment. It's kind of hardwired. I'm using a power line adapter. So I'm getting some good speed. I'm getting some good speed. So I'm happy. But anyhow, that just means that right now my Ubuntu box is using wireless. So the stream is actually pretty good considering. But, you know, again, I originally had it set up so that it was wired. Well, because the original reason was I was going to have it as a server, not as a desktop. Well, now it's a desktop. So, fortunately, you know, I had it available. So, I got it dirt cheap. It was an open box kind of thing. I went, you know, I could use that. And I bought that, and I figured out a use for it, and I now have a use for it. Just like I got another laptop, and I didn't know why I was buying it, but I bought it because I felt like I needed to buy it. Then I find out my daughter's laptop was about to die, and it died. So, hallelujah, you know. I got it was another open box, which was, so it was deep, cheap. Not that cheap, not really cheap, but at least it was like, oh, $50 off of, you know, the original. And so I went, you know, get it. So it was like $750 for MacBook Air. So how can you beat that? Anyhow. Moving onward. So I've got that set up. So I need to look at OBS a little bit to see how much of that can actually be automated. Meaning, can I just bring up OBS and then, you know, maybe with via command line and tell it, okay, start streaming immediately. Because if I can do that, that would be cool. Because I know I can change the client so that it can come up if there's a game in progress. And then I just have to make sure that I can have it so that the windows are the respective positions. You have a decent default positions so that everything can be seen. So... which would be, you know, so that I can actually automate it some so it can actually detect it as we talked about last week. So we actually can automatically stream stuff, which should be kind of cool. Not sure how that would, you know, I can get it going. I think we can get it going. I think it'd be really cool to have it done. Obviously, as mentioned last week, the one thing we want to work on is actually recording the video and then updating it. And I think for most people, that's the way they're going to want to view the games anyway, just because of most games, you know, each impulse can take, depends upon where you are in the game. Each impulse could take 30 seconds. Each impulse, you know, could go from anywhere actually from like 5 minutes down to a minimum of maybe 15 seconds. If you're zipping, it can take less than 15 seconds. But of course, you're zipping when you can, you know that, okay, nothing's happening. So that's, you know, kind of obvious there. But in those cases, you know, that's the great thing about actually recording the game, and then later on after you've finished recording the game, you can then go and edit it, you know, increase the speed for everything up to certain key points, and then slow it down. And then again, you know, and speed up for the rest. You know, have it so that those time slices, which, you know, where the movement takes like a minute, you can take that down to maybe 10 seconds or maybe faster than that, which I think would be, which is, I think is great, so that then people aren't bored. Because I took I think for my video, my 3-hour video, I converted that into like an 8-minute video. You know, it's not too bad, you know, as in, you know, it's move. It was, you know, almost real time where you're doing a speed match and just keep on moving forward. And it worked out great. You know, I think the video turned out pretty well. And I'm hoping to post more of that on the YouTube channel for, I forget what I call it. I think I call it SFU Online Client is the account. I'm hoping. See, here's the thing. I'm not sure exactly when it comes to YouTube how to actually for YouTube, how to, not YouTube. Yeah, YouTube. How to define the vanity URL. Because of it's generated. You don't get to define it, which I think is nuts. I understand why they do that. That's so that people can't grab the special, like, I don't know, what's a good one? Star Trek. Or something along those lines where people might grab it and then kind of hold it for hostage or for money. You know, oh, Star Trek, you want it? You know, I got a nice fan. You know, basically going here, you know, post videos, you know, fan videos and so forth, and then have Paramount come down and go, nope, that's ours. Then Google becomes like a DNS, which they are actually. Funny. But they control what you can and cannot, and who has ownership and that kind of thing. But anyhow, I'm hoping to do more videos as much as I possibly can when I'm available. Because always the question is, see, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to get the secondary machine, was that if I'm streaming, the secondary machine, I can have streaming or recording to the hard drive, and then after I do the recording, I can then take it. Now, then, since I have it on a different machine, I don't have to worry about going off and doing other things while it's recording. I just gotta make sure that the screen doesn't go to sleep, which is one thing I've been working on today. Because actually, I set up the Ubuntu today, and that's actually one of the things I was having issues with low bandwidth. It was like, okay, taking forever to download an ISO of Ubuntu. And so I was downloading Linux Mint. You know, I was trying another one, which was Leo Laporte, which was, I forget, ARG something. But anyway, because it was filling with a 503, which is weird. But anyhow, okay, moving on. Onward and forward. You know, the videos, I want to increase those. I want to bring up the recording portion of the SFB Online Client and see if I can get that working, because I would love to have it working so that can be used and people can record and so forth, especially if I can have it so it doesn't run out of memory, which might require a little bit of changes. But more importantly, I want to make sure that the playback is consistent. Now, one minor thing I want to just mention about this, and then I'll move on. And that is of the whole issue with the records. The way that it currently works when it comes to playback, it doesn't play back in real time. Meaning that if it took you 2 minutes to move your ship, it will have the ability to move your ship in 2 minutes. It moves your ship in time of a cadence of the records that are being played back versus a timestamp, so that, you know, it basically plays back, does a replay in real time, or even real time, or at least relative time. Because you could actually do a relative time playback so that you can say, okay, I want to increase it to be double. So that means if something was 30 seconds when it comes to time stamping, then, you know, the time stamp of the records, then that means it would only take 15 seconds. Things like that. Right now, it plays according to cadence. There's no time stamp recorded with the record, which I might want to do so that the timing feels the right. It's like when you go and record an audio thing, that you can have it so that you can get rid of all the ums and the pauses and the breaks, you know, where it's quiet. You can remove those. Well, that changes the cadence of the talk. That's why sometimes you actually want to leave pauses into recordings. The only time I actually remove those empty spots is when those empty spots are pretty long. You know? So, in the meantime, we will move forward from that. It was a nice, I like talking about the video, and I'm hoping to have more videos available, do more streaming of videos like I'm doing right now. At the moment, I'm streaming using the SFU on call. I might actually change the stream for that so that I have a separate Twitch account for SFU Online. I probably should do that and keep SFU on call to be a streaming of this stuff here, if I do it at all. So moving forward, actually, one thing chasing rabbits today, aren't I? Big surprise. One thing that I found out when it was actually when Frank actually posted onto the BBS the issue, there was a post from 2 years ago, which was some suggestions from, I think, give me a sec here. Yeah, Josh Driscoll. He had a bunch of suggestions of how to revamp the UI without revamping the UI. Yeah, because, what was it? What was one thing that I know Greg said, what's the other way? Bum, ba, ba. I forget what this is. Give me a sec, I'm sorry. Oh, this, okay. I had a crazy, crazy idea about how to change the look and feel of it, which was put the users like on the side as this big long list, which kind of reminds me of what, you know, we have for TalkShoe. You know, that's one thing. I looked at that 3 years ago. It was 2015. And Andy said, I don't see the Vans over current setup. And most people would like the other way. But Josh mentioned that, oh yeah, that he liked the current UI, but new look is probably easy if you could get some permission to use some art from A to B that could lighten up a ship background till it's not a distraction. Use it in the bullpen chat background. That's actually a good idea. And I got to see if that is possible. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to actually go through some of the suggestions that Josh did and comment on them, because some of them are pretty darn good. I like that idea, which is make it a little more colorful. It's like I currently allow people to actually add backgrounds onto their boards if they want to do it that way. which is can be actually quite cool. If you can, you can get some really nice ones. I'm not sure. One thing I have not done, which is, I think Les LeMonk would probably love to do this, which is adding a background image for the chat window itself, which you can actually define. That would be something that would be completely local. Unlike some of the background images for a map, because background images for maps, sometimes, a lot of times, some people want them to be local, but sometimes you want to use them for defining what's happening on the map itself. You know, use it as a background, but also they might have information on that which defines how you play that scenario. So, that's actually a pretty simple idea. He said, I was thinking about something, the top-down view of a Federation heavy cruiser. It would need to be very light, and the chat font may need to be changed to be something bolder to stand out. That I agree with. And actually, that's something I would think that if I did that, I should be able to turn it on and off. Defining the font is really simple, because as the moment you already can do that, you already can change your font to be whatever it is. This means that the default font would be a little bit different. The only thing I don't let you define is the size of the font. It lets you define the background, the foreground color. I forget if I let you define what actual font is used or not. I have to look at that. As you mentioned, it doesn't really do anything for help the UI functionality, but it will give the screen a new look, and I agree there. Simple things like that, because if you look at the SAP Online website, which I revamped, how many, was it last year or year before last year? I think it was last year, where the functionality, for the most part, is the same. I just changed the way it looked. And some, a lot of it was CSS. Some of it was not, though. If you look at the HTML, it's pretty ugly. Meaning, it is still the same old HTML. It just, with the CSS, I was able to change the way it looked. Which is, I think that obviously that is the reason for CSS to begin with. It could be other artwork that you have been, you might would be interested of SFU gamers. A deck plan might work. It was lightened up of a chance to easy read. Yep, okay. A functional improvement to the UI could easily be done would be the ability to link a copy of the rules or some other PDF product and then the ability to view that information in the game window. That's harder than you think. It's a lot of work to have to go back and forth between the PDF program and the client. Agreed, but I'm not, to be honest, when it comes to that kind of thing, I'm not so sure it would help. Do you really want to do that? Now, obviously, the important thing, if that was to be the available, now, again, it's one of those things that you would have to have a copy of the PDF product. I could not actually make that available. You would have to buy it and then possibly put it someplace on your hard drive, like... In the client itself, say, okay, my documentation is here. Let's say that I can get it. I have to double check to see if there's a PDF reader in Java. Possibly might have to buy a third-party library to do it. But the main reason there would be just to be able to find the rules within the PDF product itself. Again, are you sure you actually want that as part of the client and not just a separate window? Depends, I guess. Depends if you have a single monitor or you have multiple monitors. Because with multiple monitors, you actually have that separate monitor. Though I don't think many people do that. I think most people use, if they have multiple monitors, one of the monitors is just the board. And then you have another monitor which you use for SSDs and EAs. Which you can do. I've done it. It's actually, it works out quite nice for that. That's it. I kind of what I'd like to do, but I don't know if that's possible, which for the Mac, which is have it so that different windows are in different workspaces. I think that's what they call them. Here's a crazy one, which is about a media player built into the client that so you can load up a music playlist to play in the background of the game. Even the cooler would be to giving players the ability to broadcast that music to the observers or other players in the game. I know a few players use voice chat, but it would be cool to have it all built in. I agree there. The one thing actually I thought about a while back was actually the ability to do voice chat. I still can do it. Basically, it would be a push to record. It's more along the long lines. Instead of live going back and forth, it would be more like a little voicemail message. Apple does it with iMessage, where you can record a message and then send it. And that would be the same thing for SAP Online Client. Would be that you actually record a little message and send it out so everyone could play it locally. I did do that at one point. The biggest issue would be the format. Now, when it comes to other things, I digress. I think voice chat, I think the one thing I really want to do is encourage people to use Discord. That's one thing I've not done yet and I really need to do, which is actually go and for Discord, go and post an invitation link to the SFU Online client. Because the one great thing about Discord is that with Discord, you can actually... With Discord, you actually... It's not like IRC where it disappears. It's more like Slack in that it records the history, records what you said, and so people can know what's chatted. Obviously, voice is completely live and not recorded. That's my understanding. Obviously, the person, if they want to, they can record it on their end, and you can't do anything about it. Now, I'm not, when it comes to laws, when it comes to recording people, I don't know if that is included. You know, if you have to tell them, oh, I'm recording this, obviously, if you're calling into my talk show, you're being recorded. It's for a podcast. You know you're being recorded. This is not something which is unbeknownst to you. So you can't say, oh, I didn't know you. I was recording. It's a podcast. You know? So fortunately, I haven't had any issues with that in the past because I think people be dorks to complain about being recorded when you know I'm recording a podcast. You know, and the people who know about the podcast, well, they know that they're calling into a podcast. Like calling into a radio program, not thinking you're actually going live out to the tri-state area or whatever. Okay, moving forward. Another crazy idea would be to have a new weapon chart button. Interesting. That would gather a list of all the weapons needed in the game. The way I have my UI configured, I always calculate damage on the piece information screen. If we need if you could dock charge to piece information to the piece information screen. Okay, I gotta think about that for a moment. Okay. Okay, I know that. If you could add the weapon start, pull down athlete damage and let the player select the ship and pull down the list. Okay, I think I get what Josh was saying. Josh is saying that he wants to have basically the individual weapon charts to be available and have it so that you instead of bringing up a separate window which has the weapon charts, that you could actually just have it so it's attached to the piece information, and then you click on the ship and the weapons for that ship the charts for that weapon would then show up like on another part of that. I call it the game board control panel. I think that's what I call it. It's been a while. Right. Anything to give it more a multimedia look would be add to the attraction for me. I'm not exactly sure what that means. Obviously, some of the things that he mentioned with the background images, I think it's a good thing, and I would like to do that. I have to double check on that. About what to use. It's more to the point. I actually might want to have multiple images that the person can use, and possibly even specify, we have a certain set of images, and a lot of people do custom images. Because Lord knows, I'm willing to bet that Les LeBlanc has quite a few of background images that he would be happy to use. Maybe a link to buying SFU products directly from the client, then have them download into your module library or shipped to you. I'm not exactly sure how you do that. It's a potential point of sale of the Universe games, as well as an untapped resource for advertising new products, and especially those that might be running. Maybe. Another feature that would be cool is to see added to the client is the ability to view and post to the A to B BBS if you're a registered user with use to this site. That, I think, would be quite cool. Obviously, the big question with that is where. And I'm not sure about what how you do that. Obviously, it's pretty old. The discussion board is pretty old. It's possible. Maybe I'll hack something together. If there's some way to link the Facebook SFU pages to the client, it has one. And yeah, I know. And there's also one for SFB online. And there's at least one player group. If you could tell who was logged in and playing from a mobile device, it might stimulate more people to log in. Not exactly sure how you would do that, but you never know. I think there's a lot that could be done to give the client a new look without totally revamping. I agree there. Add some color to it if you can get permission to be to use some of the best art from the third gen project. I'm sure I could easily use it. Or any SFU project like deck plans, that would be different. The deck plans themselves, I couldn't. The images, I could. Like the cover sheet. Not the cover sheet. The cover page for the modules, I could get that. Or from the captain's log, I can use that. As long as that's not too big a distraction when chatting, then it could be used as background. I'm thinking of Fed CA lightened about 80-90% maybe. Most other ideas are just linking AV products into the client better. I have no idea how hard that would be in terms of programming. There's some responses, which is Greg Flush Vandor is call sign. He likes the video, the voice chat type thing, sending a text or typing into your sending a text, typing to your opponent is okay, but talking would be real nice. I agree. I can't get the link to work for the new update. Weird. Oh, Jared, way back when, so that would be a place he wanted to learn. Okay. Ba-ba-ba. And that's about it from Josh. But some interesting ideas about updating the UI without updating the UI. I like the ideas, When it comes to using background images for the chat area, I think that's something that could be easily done. I have to double check. But I'm pretty sure I could have done it. And the... what do they call it? Let's double check. It says lightning. That could probably be done. I have to see if I could I have to look at the FedCA. I think FedCA would be probably pretty easy. Of course, you know, would everyone want FedCA? I wouldn't. I would want the Andromeda. Unfortunately, Andromeda don't have any third gen. That have to be more along the lines of Cabin's Log. You know, I like some of the Cabin's Logs, some of those pictures. But that's some interesting things. As I mentioned, when it comes to the overall for the voice, I really would like to encourage people to use Discord. I think that would be fantastic. Actually, the original reason I wanted to send out the link to the SFU online client group, the Google group, would be to encourage people to use that as a way of bringing new people into SFU Online, something that's a little more modern, but still have the ability to have that discussion. And discussions that people might have on the online client itself, maybe step them on the online client, actually have them on Discord app. And also, obviously, the great thing about the Discord app is that you can do it not just on your desktop, you actually could do it on your phone, you could do it on your tablet device. I think that'd be quite cool. Oh, geez. This is another one from Josh, which happened. He's mentioned. Okay, wow. Peter reporting an issue. I was looking at another section and found another thing from Josh. He said, how about an app or a widget that shows you how many people are on SFU Online at the moment? And how many are looking for a game? That's hard to tell when it comes to how many people are looking for a game. Now, the widget showing how many people are online, that is doable. The question is, would we really want to do that? Because in my mind, it is one of those gotchas. If you only see there's two people online, is the third person going to show up? Probably not. But if you can, you know, if you log in and then you might just to see if someone's there and go, hey, you know, there's no one here, maybe I'll hang out for like 5 minutes and see if anyone shows up. And then you have two becomes three becomes four. That can easily snowball. That's what I'm thinking at the moment. Instead of showing how many people are there and then say, well, people are discouraged. Oh, no one's showing up, so we're just going to skip it all together, you know. Well, if you showed up, then in that case, what would have happened is that you would have had five people because it just built on one another. It'd be cool also if you could watch a game and chat in the bullpen on a mobile device. Yeah, that's the one thing I'm actually working on. Even if they couldn't play the full game, which is what I want to do. I want to have it so people can at least watch using a web page. And you could do that on a mobile device at that point. Also, it'd be neat if you could do game setups in EAs with a mobile app while, and later load the setup and drone loadouts and commander options from the work you had saved on the mobile app. That's a little more difficult, though. I like the idea of being able to do game setups, you know, do scenarios including loadouts, some kind of either tool or even just something that's simple text. You know, that always would be good to see if you can do a defined way using text to define the loadouts and things like that, so that you can just load, you can actually write it in a text editor and then load it into the client and boom, it's all set. Commanders options, I'm not exactly sure how you do that currently in an online client. And of course, big battles, it could take eternity to set up the game. Another one would be the play by SMS app. Would let you play by texting. Not so sure that's possible. Similar to the way PBM works, but hopefully a lot faster gaming. I like the idea when it comes to texting it in, you know, controlling it via purely text to have a lot better gameplay. Yeah, it's a neat idea. You know, kind of play by email meets real world. You know, still asynchronous play, but you can then just say, okay, move this, do this to this, which would be kind of cool. Obviously, as you mentioned, it's play by email in concept, because in play by email, you don't actually, the orders you submit are not very graphically oriented. It's purely text for that. One thing I still would like to do, and I'm not sure if I'll ever get around to doing it, really, which is to this day I would love to do interactive fiction, because actually I got to play a little bit of interactive fiction. I was enjoying it. I didn't get very far in it, but you know, for what I did, I actually enjoyed it quite a bit. So I was happy. Oh geez, I'm sorry. I'm looking at some of these older threads. Oh yeah. One thing dealing with large units, I still remember. I actually do have something. There are some features of the SW Online client which are not really visible. One of those things is for large battles, I actually have a way of hiding. You know, it can actually, you can do a selection on the screen. You can do a view of like only ships, so you can hide all the point of turn and point of slip counters. You can have it so that it only shows fighters, or only shows only shows ships and fighters. You know, things like that. Which I added when I wanted to do, I was doing a little battle, a large battle, and they were getting in the way. And unfortunately, someone had already recommended, you know, suggested it. And I went, okay, why not? Let's try that. And actually, it did work quite well. The one thing I still want to do, as I mentioned before, is the whole ability of clicking and dragging the map itself. But as I think I mentioned before, about the big issue with that is just to have it so that it has to be a different, has to be a separate mode. You have either a selection mode or you have a dragging mode. Because in the case of a selection mode, when you click and drag, you're not moving the map. You want to create a selection rectangle. Versus having so that actually you can do the selection, and versus actually moving the map, you're doing a selection at that point. Okay, I'm just looking at large battles in SW Online client. Because I posted, this is back in 2006, where I said there are some problems with large battles, which were large number of EAs, large number of pieces, keeping track of what has moved, what has not, keeping track of sequence weapons and their targets, keeping track of EW. And some ideas they had was automated seeking weapon movement. We're copying EA's one ship to another. Still haven't done that. Specifying speed plot for multiple ships at the same time. I've done that. We can do that. Because all you have to do is, if you can do a predefined speed plot, you then can select multiple units, and then you can do select multiple units in the speed plot chart, and then select the quick plot, or have multiple ones when you are highlighted when you are actually defining the speed. Automatically announce speed changes and change the speeds accordingly. I already did that many, many years ago. That's weird. Huh. Oh, well. Okay, with that, I think I will wrap up for this evening. Just a reminder that the Jets are still beating the Browns 14-6 in the middle of the third quarter, and looks like the Jets have been stopped when it comes to scoring. So Browns keep coming, you know, they're going to win. So with that, I am Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.